This is not sticky pickles.
Yeah, perfect.
You're listening to the Host Unknown podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening from wherever you are joining us, and welcome to episode 96-ish of the Host Unknown podcast.
100!
Well, do you know, we're nearly there. We're going to have to do something.
Yes.
Perhaps we should do something, you know, like Smashing Security style-y, where we have, you know, Noel's house party and people ringing into our podcast or something like that. I think that would work. That would work. You know, in fact, let's ask an expert. Carole, what do you think?
You definitely have to do something. Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me on, guys.
That's all right.
I love giving you guys my Friday morning. Love it. It's my favorite.
We could tell by the noise you were making before we went live.
Yeah. you definitely have to do something. I'm guessing you're going to invite some special guests on the show.
Indeed.
To say hi.
In fact, it seems like we're preparing for that, you know, right now. Very, very special guest.
We are very selective, though, with the guests. It's not like, you know, we just allow anyone to come on.
In fact, we've only ever had two different guests, haven't we?
Well, three if we include Jav.
Poor Jav. Hi, Jav.
He has a regular guest spot on the show.
He does, yeah. although I'm going to be away for the next couple of weeks, so unless we're recording on different days, I'm going to become the guest. I shall become the butt of the jokes.
Are you guys recording even though you're away, Tom? Because you do all the editing and stuff, don't you?
Well, exactly.
I think the word editing's a bit of a...
Well, it's a,
it means different things to different people, yeah. Right?
It certainly did when I didn't edit that one week, yeah. Anyway, Carole, how are you?
Delightful, and delighted to be here. So excellent, feeling good.
Have you had a good week?
Yeah, busy, podcasting everywhere, doing work for the Cyberwire and Sticky Pickles and Smashing Security.
Wow, Cyberwire, if you're interested in sponsoring the Host Unknown podcast, just let us know. You know, perhaps taking us, you know, under your wing, maybe. I don't know.
You
know,
we yeah, you guys
give
are
us
really
salary.
You really align with how they work. Yeah.
Yeah.
What are they? Are they really professional too?
They make us look like amateurs. I mean, us at Smashing. So
holy moly, Andy. What about you? How have you been, sir?
Good. It's been a good week. Just positivity this week. I think lots going on.
Really?
I think we're turning into. The sun is almost coming. I feel spring is almost upon us.
Yes, the daffs are almost in bloom.
Yeah, and that kind of makes everything seem good.
Yeah. Yeah, it just makes me think that my windows are dirty.
Yeah, so I have a window cleaner.
Well, of course you do. Do you also have a second window cleaner just in case the other one doesn't do a good job, you know, like your internet connections?
No, but you know what? The funny thing is that he could have actually just scammed us, for all I know, is that one day we're sitting here and I'm in the office working and then the windows start getting cleaned. And then I go outside and I'm like, hey, what's up? And he's like, oh, who are you? And we're like, this is our house. He's like, oh, I'm the window cleaner. I come every month and do the windows. Maybe he does. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's just looking for houses that were recently sold. It's just rocked up. But we've always kept him since then. And he's been pretty good, so...
And haven't paid him at all because
cash in hand and it's all good. But yeah, maybe that's a way of getting new business.
You have cash? Who has cash these days?
Especially post Rona. Yeah,
I have. Do you know what? I have a lot of cash which I have not spent since the pandemic. So I used to, just always carry cash.
Oh, I know what you use cash for. I remember. Yeah.
No, but I always just used to carry cash. Like I'd pay a local taxi. So when I used to travel, like you get two options. Either you pay your local taxi firm, claim it back in expenses, or, you know, you get a company car that's just ridiculously overpriced and a bit too formal. So I'd always just pay for a taxi to go to the airport. So I always just had cash in case because I never got to the bank often. And so I've still probably got about 200 quid in cash, which is a good, another at least 12... washes of the windows.
I know someone who's in an industry where cash is often, you know, quite commonly used. And so he secretes it around the house, normally in DVD boxes. And he counted it up, you know, not so long ago. He said he had about 27 grand.
What?
Jesus. Yeah. That is a lot of DVD boxes.
That must weigh a lot. Like, yeah. If you put that on a scale.
It's 50s and stuff, you know. But it is, you know, literally just all over the place, everywhere.
Can you imagine if he gets burgled? That would be like, how do you explain that to the insurance guy?
And they think
they're
just taking the DVDs.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's no value in DVDs whatsoever.
Well, there is in his.
Yeah, in his. But I can't give DVDs. Like, even charity shops don't take them around here.
Really?
I've probably got about 400 DVDs, which that I'm trying to offload.
What, because you've ripped them and so therefore...
No, I don't have a DVD player anymore.
Well, I would be getting one of those, right? And then just keep it for your old age.
Yeah.
I will never see old age.
That's what your wife keeps telling you.
Yeah. But anyway, how are you doing, Tom?
I am all right. Things are ticking along nicely.
Yay.
I'm trying to think what any important news this week, at least news that I can share. It's going well. Oh, I did go up to London on Wednesday. Extremely expensive trip because I had to replace a tire on the car on the way there.
Awful.
Which was, you know, it was a scary looking tire afterwards, to tell you. It was shredded. But I went up to London to watch Glaminatrix with Dieter von Teese. It was excellent.
Of course you did.
It was very glam. It was me all over. What can I say?
And did you wear your feather boa and sort of glitter the face up before you got
just
there?
Just the feather boa, yeah.
Just the feather boa, okay.
That's why awesome. Changing the tyre on the motorway on the way down, I got a few honks.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
But your nails were still okay by the time you got there? You didn't break anything?
They were fine. They were fine.
I know you spent a lot of money on those.
This lovely chap pulled over, you know. I was flashing a bit of leg and everything else, but yeah, it was fine. Anyway, enough of that. What have we got coming up for you in today's show? Well, this week in InfoSec reminds us of how smart researchers name viruses. Rant of the week is a story about security through obscurity. That old chestnut. Billy Big Balls is a story that starts with oink oink and ends with, I'm not entirely sure, maybe a bacon sandwich. Industry News brings us the latest and greatest security news stories from around the world. And Tweet of the Week calls out corporate social media accounts on their platitudes. A little known fact, platitudes are the only mammal that lay eggs. So, moving swiftly on, we'll move on to the part of the show that we like to call...
This Week in InfoSec.
Love that royalty-free
music. It's a royalty-free start of the show.
It's a brilliant one. So it is that part of the show where we take a stroll down InfoSec memory lane with content liberated from sources across the internet. And where we are able to, we will embellish. I like how we change the words there. So our first story takes us back 30 years to the 6th of March 1992 when the Michelangelo virus begins infecting computers. It was so named because it activates on the 6th of March, which is the birthday of Michelangelo, who is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle who wears the orange eye mask and wields nunchucks as his weapon of choice.
Thought they were all born on the same day, you know, being turtles and stuff. But, you know,
he was born first. I think it was 1159 he was born, and the others were born at midnight.
Got you, the rest of the day after,
Yeah, but the virus went on to make news again the same time the following year, and it was one of the earliest viruses to receive widespread media attention and also one of the first to prompt widespread hysteria. And the irony of the name of the virus was that nothing in the virus's code referenced Michelangelo. And it's possible that the virus author, who was never identified, did not even know that 6th of March was Michelangelo's birthday.
really?
And yeah,
it
and
seemed a little bit coincidental. I mean, it's a 1 in 365 chance, right?
Maybe it's the author's birthday, right?
I'm going to throw a spanner in the works here.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I just went to Michelangelo on Wikipedia, and it opens with the fact that it's been discovered on the 4th of February, 1991 in Australia.
Indeed. It was discovered there, but it began infecting computers on the 6th.
Oh.
So that they discovered it, but it didn't actually activate.
Coming on here, our show, and throwing around facts, Carol. Yeah.
Just trying to be part of the team here, guys.
No, but if you actually go back to the show notes of episode 46, you will find a link to the News Round episode, which interviews the virus researcher who discovered and named the virus. It's some guy in his 60s called Graham Clully.
I've heard of him.
Yeah. I've not fact checked that part, but.
Yeah.
I believe it was him that named it.
Yeah. Sounds like He does. It's got an old sound to his name, isn't it?
Yeah, it's probably one of those old fuddy-duddy.
Is it like Godfrey or something?
You don't know him.
So our second story takes us back only a mere 23 years ago to the 9th of March 1999, when US Vice President Al Gore gave an interview on CNN's Late Edition in which he stated, "During my service in the United States Congress, I took the initiative in creating the internet."
He then
went on to explain that I took the initiative in moving forward a whole range of initiatives that have proven to be important to our country's economic growth and environmental protection. And this is the infamous statement, which continues to be widely misquoted as Al Gore saying that he invented the internet.
Well, wasn't he kind of intimating that?
Yeah, of course. And this is like, you know, his end of year performance reviews must have been next level, right? I mean, Americans are pretty good at self-promotion anyway.
Yes. But,
you know, sort of the way he's kind of like, well, I'm not saying I invented the internet, but all these words, if you listen to what I'm saying, I invented the internet.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But it was one of those things that would have happened anyway. He probably helped things move along with certain, as he says, initiatives, right?
Very legally perfect.
The way he said it made it sound like he was saying, just
I am God.
Yes.
But that's the thing, though, right? When you're talking to your boss, you kind of embellish a bit more than you don't realize it's going to get out and everyone's going to analyze it and say,
hell, you should see my CV. Yeah,
I have seen your CV. It looks very familiar to my CV.
But I think you wrote a little bit of mine.
Oh dear. Yeah, no, it's a good CV though, Tom, I have to say.
Yeah, well, you know, it's worked so far. You know, more news to come on that front, hopefully. Anyway, excellent. Andy, thank you very much for that. Always good to look back in time and remember our childhood
younger days
watching cartoons and Ninja Turtles. Thank you.
This week in InfoCert.
Are you outraged that Host Unknown was voted the most entertaining content coming out of Europe? We read all complaints sent to our Reddit channel on r/smashingsecurity.
You guys are so lame.
That's a copyright jingle, that one, by the way. Yeah.
It's like it's a Friday morning, I volunteer my time, and I just get hammered. I should get hammered because then I can cope with this better.
All we've done is say nice things about you, Carol.
So far.
What do you mean so far? Oh, well, I don't know. Let's move on, shall we? Let's get on to this week's...
Listen up! Rant of the week. It's time to mother rage!
So in grand tradition, I haven't really read ahead here, so I've got a choice of two. But I think I'm going to take this one. Most organisations, the headline reads, would take security bugs over ethical hacking help. Seriously? I mean...
As the link loads.
So a new survey, so obviously we need to ask questions like, who was asked, what were they asked, how many times were they asked, what was the exact question, suggests that security has become more important for enterprises, but they're still falling back on old security by obscurity ways, which basically means let's not stick our head above the parapet, let's not announce anything, let's not say that we've got the most secure environments in the world for people to come and test us. Let's just try and avoid any kind of attacks whatsoever.
Do you know, I'm not against that approach, I'll be honest.
No, as long as that's not your only defence.
Yes.
You know, security by obscurity. I remember years ago having to visit data centres and things like that. And the number of times I've walked around business parks on the outskirts of London trying to find the actual right location of the data center, because they do not put their company name up anywhere on any of the boards or on the outside of the building because they didn't want to advertise that they were massive data centers, right? And so, and that was a sensible precaution. But they also had, you know, razor wire and security guards and all the other stuff. But that's security obscurity done right. The security of security by obscurity that is prevailing now is that they're shying away from things like bug bounty programs, the ethical hacking help. And the thing here, a friend of the show, Katie Mazouras, is one of these sort of key proponents of.
Where is she now? She just moved somewhere.
No, I think she's still in the US.
No, I mean, sorry, I interrupted you. But yeah,
I don't know. But yes, I have heard that she moved somewhere. But the bug bounty thing, which is, I think we can now say, is now a mature industry, for want of a better term. And there are very sort of clearly defined ways of doing it right, as well as, you know, how not to do it. And not knowing how to work with bug bounty programs, not having a bug bounty program, or even worse, not knowing how to deal with an ethical hacker / security researcher who tells you that there is that you've got a problem, is it's asinine nowadays. It's the sort of thing that would happen sort of 10, 15 years ago. It's a bit like that case in the US of the journalist who hit is it F12? I can't remember.
No, yeah, view source code. Or whatever.
Yeah, it's a view source code, basically, and then was prosecuted, although subsequently the case was thrown out, and actually the department that brought the prosecution was brought under fire. But, so, you know, they didn't know how to deal with that, so they attacked the source. And in fact, I've had experience of this where I've had a place I used to work, a project, had a security researcher come and say, hey, you've got vulnerabilities here, let me show you it. And they were freaking out about this person doing it. And in the end, all it took was me to meet them at a conference and give them a bit of swag, literally some company branded mugs and mouse mats and T-shirts and stuff. And he was absolutely thrilled that he was playing a part, whereas they got the lawyers lined up.
But there's different types of bug bounty programs. I think, you know, like you have, as you say, like what I'm calling bug bounty brokers, right? Like the HackerOne, the Bug Crowd, the Synax. And then you've got like in-house bounty programs. So like Apple has Security Bounty and Microsoft bug bounty programs and all this. So it's interesting for me to see what your views are on whether someone should go direct, like someone should offer this as a technology firm, or do you want them to shuffle them all through bug bounty programs?
Think for me, I think both are absolutely fine. I think as long as the company itself, the target, and I use that in the loosest term, is actually clear about which way to go or what happens. I think, you know, if there's a clear thing that sort of says, hey, if you find any issues, then contact us directly at bugbounty@apple.com or contact us at apple@hackerone.com or whatever. You know, it should be clear, you know, because that's the first step in establishing trust, in the sense that I am following the instructions, I have done my research, and I am genuinely concerned that there is a vulnerability here. And hey, let me make some coin out of it, since, you know, I'm doing your work for you.
But often,
Go on.
I'm just going to say often, or I've read of situations where bug bounty programs will, you know, negotiate the deal, right, with the with the company that has the vulnerability, but along with the Wonga that will be offered to the researcher might be a non-disclosure agreement as well. And some of the policies in there may include, we don't have to address this right now. So that's an interesting thing for a researcher. If you find a huge bug in something, you want it fixed. Like, you always expect, you know, as soon as you tell them, they're going to go, hallelujah, thank you so much, right? That's what they should
do. And then it's not addressed.
Right, and then they don't address it. And that must be the most frustrating thing for a researcher, like bury the lead, right?
And I guess that's why God invented end-to-end encryption messaging programs, because, you know, 6 months later you could say, mate, take a look at this, have a go, see if you can raise it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't know. That's poor as well. I mean, if people are highlighting vulnerabilities to you to the point where they're critical enough that you're willing to offer money, but not address it, there's got to be a challenge.
And by their silence.
Yeah, and by their silence. Although the risk-based approach says if addressing it costs more than the potential loss, or, you know, the money that you're handing over anyway, is it worth addressing?
Well, I know of security researchers who have found vulnerabilities in big software, and they turned down the money because they didn't want to sign the NDA. So they gave them 90 days to make the fixes, and they didn't do it. So then they went live with it. And guess what? Millions of people complained, and they fixed it. This was Zoom, actually, back in 2019.
Ah, right, And Zoom is a company who's actually really cleaned up their act on this.
Oh, and that is where Kate Mazuris, I think, is now. I may be wrong on that, but I think Zoom's hired her because I think they've got their own bug bounty program now. I may be wrong, but I'm making that tie. Don't quote me.
Yeah. Katie, in your new employment, if you're looking to sponsor, you know, a little startup podcast, look no further than the annoying little brother that snaps at the heels of Smashing Security, knows Host Unknown. I think we've kind of said it here. And there's a great stat here that says that the survey that came from HackerOne, so there we go, a little bit of insider.
Rose-tinted glasses with the reporting.
A little bit of an ulterior motive here. Hey, you're crap, come work with us. So a full 65% of organizations surveyed claimed that they want to be seen as infallible, although just as many said, 64% said they practice a culture of security through obscurity. What it doesn't say, however, is what percentage of that 64 and 65 are common between the two, which I think would be a far more interesting piece of information. But I think the key takeaway here is, you know, security through obscurity is absolutely fine, but you cannot let go of everything else. You still need to have a multi initiative program in place that actually addresses your security, and just hiding and waiting in the wings and crossing your fingers is really not a valid security posture.
Totally. And the whole infallibility, right, you know, feels a little 80s, 90s, like Arnie Schwarzenegger or Stallone. You know, like, you cannot pass, you know, and it's just...
Nice to meet you. I let him go. absolutely. And the fact is that we know that, you know, it's not a case of if, but when you get hacked. And if you think you've never been hacked, then chances are you've already been hacked. You just don't know about it and all that sort of thing. I think, you know, the world has matured on this front, but many organizations probably haven't.
No, I know. But then they always put that in their T's and C's anyway, just saying, we'll do everything we can to protect your stuff. But, you know, bad stuff happens. So, you know, fingers crossed.
Actually, you missed the most important part of that. We take security seriously.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Very seriously. Rant of the week.
This is the Host Unknown podcast, home of Billy Big Ball Energy.
All right. Now we move on to a special part of the show just for Carole. And it is the part of the show that we, for today only, are going to call...
Look at the size of that thing!
Carole's Colossus Cojones.
Carole's. Who's she?
Hey, you know, it's the jingles are from Fiverr. They can't distinguish between names. Come on.
All right, so my story has to do with piggies. Because there's been an algorithm built by EU researchers, and it's all designed to help farmers speak pig or understand pig language in order to improve animal welfare.
Is this some sort of gag from, like, you know, when you're in your late teens, early 20s, and you drink a lot of alcohol and then sort of hit the dance floor? Because I also had that ability to speak to
So it's apparently designed to assess the pig's emotion state based on the sounds they make. So how do you crack the pig code, right? How do you do that? They got five
you
different
mean how do you crackling the pig code?
They got five researchers in five different EU countries and using handheld microphones, see, shout out to all the podcasters listening, gathered more than 7,000 distinct snorts and grunts from over 400 pigs. And apparently the algorithm they've created based on all these sounds is 92% accurate of the time.
What?
So my question to you is, how the fuck do they know?
And also, have they got like the Star Trek Universal Translator going
exactly.
on?
Yeah, exactly.
Pigs in different countries would speak different languages, wouldn't they?
Right?
Loink, loink.
But that's so funny, right? Because they had to do it in different countries. That's probably why they did that, to just see exactly. And what about American pigs versus British pigs? You know, oh, pip, pip, telly-ho.
Oink, oink, freedom! Oink, oink.
And imagine the translations, right? It'd be like, fuck me, it's hot out here today.
Exactly.
Or fucking dumb farmers coming, hide.
Morning, Dave.
Just wonderful.
Morning, John. All right, how'd you do it? Not bad.
And it turns out, they say in this article, this is the New York Times, link in the show notes, but they say that the short, small, sweet, high-pitched sounds are happier sounds, and the long, horrible squeals are the ones where they're unhappy, like when a sow crushes her baby or something. And you're like, good thing we have some research on this.
Yeah, exactly, because contextual clues are always difficult.
Anyway, it's just interesting where, you know, technology is making its forays. And then you think, what if that gets hacked? Like, you know, like, that's what's happening to my life now. That's the question I ask it every time I hear about a new technology around the corner. What's going to happen when that goes wrong?
You're going to hear a pig sound and you're going to say, that pig's just told me to kill you.
Maybe I'm trying to...
It got hacked.
Maybe you'd play French pigs to English pigs to see if they get on or not. Right? See if there's any friction there.
No, I think the English pigs would just start swearing in Pigonese or whatever it is.
Damn immigrants coming here.
Anyway, there's my story.
If the French people call the English like roast beef, you know, because of their ability to go bright red in the sun, what do the French pigs call the English pigs? You know, le roast pork? I don't know. It just doesn't translate really, does it?
Well, do, I don't know. Yeah. Good question. I have no idea what that would be.
Excellent. Well, I mean, as a Billy Big Balls or a Carole's Colossal Cojones, I mean, all I've got in my mind now are pig sweetmeats. So it's
Someone actually funded that. You know that. Someone actually funded that research.
Sorry.
Well, the idea is to give Yeah, the idea they say is all to improve animal welfare, which, you know, that goes a long way. If somehow you can kind of go, I have 90% happy squeaks on my farm. Oh, I only got 30. That would help people, I guess, understand whether that needs more. I don't know.
You could end up with, like a traffic light system on your pork chop now, couldn't you? Guaranteed 25% more happy squeaks.
Yeah, happy pigs.
Brackets until the very last one.
Yeah. These bacon rashers were from very unhappy pigs. They would have wanted this.
Carol's Colossus Cojones.
God, it's very dramatic, isn't it?
It is.
Very dramatic.
Sketchy presenters, weak analysis of content, and consistently average delivery. But they still won an award. Like and subscribe now.
So, Andy, you're a fan of science fiction, yeah?
I am.
Do you like a bit of Doctor Who?
I do like the Time Lord.
Absolutely, absolutely. What's your opinion of the time right now?
Let me have a look. I'm just going to step into the TARDIS, and as I look at the clock on the wall, it is that time of the show where we head over to our news sources over at the InfoSec PA Newswire, who have been very busy bringing us the latest and greatest security news from around the globe.
Industry news.
Google to acquire Mandiant.
Industry news.
Dirty pipe exploit rings alarm bells in the Linux community.
Industry news.
Chinese APT-41 group compromises 6 US government networks.
Industry news.
Prison for man who scammed US government to buy Pokemon card.
Industry news.
UK announces new rules to tackle surging online scam adverts. Woo!
Industry news.
Over 90% of exposed Russian cloud databases compromised.
Industry news.
AI accountability framework created to guide use of AI in security.
Industry news.
Conti Group spent $6 million on salaries, tools and services in a year.
Industry news.
Cackbot debuts new technique.
Industry news.
And that was this week's
industry news.
Huge if true.
Huge news.
Especially the dirty pipe. I mean, come on. What kind of naming scheme was that?
I didn't even think that.
Yeah. It's ruining everything.
I went straight for the man who scammed the US government to buy a Pokemon card.
Yeah, how much was this Pokemon card?
$85,000.
Okay, yeah, that's worth scamming the US government for. Yeah, fair enough.
So again, oh, do you know what? Clickbait headline.
No.
There we go. Sarah, not good. So he obtained $85,000 in COVID relief fund and then used it to buy a collectible Pokemon trading card. As you do.
Well, it's not really. I mean, he did scam them and he did use it to buy a not that clickbaity.
Well, no, he kind of said that he employed 10 people in the entertainment service business in Dublin. And generated a huge loss in the 12 months during the pandemic. And in his fraudulent application, they said, okay, here's $85,000 to help you get back on your feet. And he used $58,000 of that to buy a very rare trading card. And I don't want to, I'm going to sound like a dick if I pronounce this wrong. Charizard?
Charizard,
a fire flying dragon type Pokemon.
Yeah. Well, it could be a company investment, right? I mean, it could be towards the company.
I don't think
that's only going to go up in price. Absolutely. It's just at least it's better than an NFT. At least you have something physical.
Yes. He's true. In fact,
analog
NFT. He could make copies of it and make an NFT.
That's right.
And say this is the one that the US government paid for. Could be famous. I'm interested in seeing Quackbot, because when I first saw that, I thought that was Quakebot. And I got very excited for all of the bots old from Quake. Okay.
Yeah, coming back online. Did you used to install that in the office?
Yeah.
I think that was the most installed game on an office machine.
I think, wasn't it originally, it was Doom. I'm not sure Quake took quite so much, but nonetheless, it was certainly up there. But yeah. I did see this article, and they actually got some footage of it. Somebody back in, when was it released? late 90s? So somebody around about that time set up a server in a data center somewhere for people to connect and play to. It was fairly normal. And they had, I think, 6 or 7 bots in there, which at the time took a lot of processing power. And they let the bots just run around. They never stopped the game. So the bots would go around and try and kill each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they literally found this server like 15 years later. So you can imagine it's like, you know, they left it a war zone. They came back 15 years later and there was utter silence. And they found the bots had evolved and they were actually all in a circle facing each other, not doing anything.
They'd made peace.
And then wow. So somebody said, well, what happens if we shoot one of them? So they shot one of them and it all kicked off again. They all just went off at each other. But, you know, after 15 years of peace, somebody went in and disrupted it. But the fact that these bots had come to like some kind of mutual agreement, do you know what I mean?
That's brilliant.
Not that that's got anything to do with Quackbot.
No, but I was looking at the one Carol mentioned, the Conti group spending $6 million on salaries. Wow.
Yeah. And like 485 individuals have gone through the Conti system, it says, although this figure also includes potential candidates who have declined roles. But you can imagine how many people may have worked there not knowing they were necessarily helping a
that's true.
Nefariously charged organization.
So are these people in multiple geographies? Are they all over the place?
It says they had an HR recruitment lead.
Yeah, very well organized.
Yeah.
They probably had a LinkedIn jobs group and stuff.
And do you think you can get references if you previously worked there? So when you go to your new place and you fill
in.
Any references?
I wonder if people would even know, though. In most companies, they may not even know. They may not do their due diligence and find out even what it is.
Yeah. So, during the interview phase, so what do you know about the company? Well, to be honest, I was more interested in the job. I didn't really look to see, you know, what the company did.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do I need to know about the company? Do you pay your salaries on time? Yes. You know, somebody who's going through this at the moment, it's going, why do you want this job? Because I want a roof over my head. You know?
But you know what? If a company like this that wants to, you know, get up to no good treats its employees really well.
Yeah.
That is a very worrying trend when many legit companies are trying to squeeze as much work and as much as they can, you know, out of a typical employees. So this could cause a whole havoc of stuff if this starts happening.
I was talking about recruitment. I was chatting. I was having an interview earlier this week, and I was chatting to somebody, and he said that the person who's interviewing me, he said the most bizarre experience he had was when they were recruiting for pen tester, you know, security researcher, blah, 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 internal role. And he said, oh, so what do you do in your spare time? Basically, this guy said he's a black hat hacker in his spare time.
Brilliant.
Wow. It's like, okay, don't call us. We'll call you.
Yeah.
It's not quite what we need for
but But I think that's a really important point. I think companies need to look into the people they think they're impressed by in terms of a job, just to see what the background is.
But you know? Then you're going into, you know, should people be should people be allowed to investigate the people they're hiring, going through, you know, deep searches of social media and any kind of online presence and going back to a comment they made about somebody back in 2010 on Twitter or whatever? Is that a valid use of resources? And is that, you know, kind of, you know, punishing them for things that they did years ago?
I think if you're a company that wants to remain squeaky clean and have a really good track record, you have to make sure the people representing the firm are supporting that. That doesn't mean go and, you know, you can't, you know, you can do the private eye stuff, but you can also just do a little bit of due diligence. Like, you know, it's a lot of gray area there.
Yeah. Yeah, there is. It isn't a black and white thing, but. Very difficult. I'm just glad I've never been caught at anything. Anyway, excellent. Thank you very much, folks. That was this week's
industry news. We are officially the most entertaining content amongst our peers.
Going to get full use of these jingles before the awards come up.
Yeah. Although I will say, and I've said this before, I've got the jingles lined up in front of me, labelled 1 to 12. I don't actually know which one's which.
I know. It's always hit and miss. It's like battleships.
It is, yeah, exactly. In fact, one of them doesn't play at all, and I can't remember which one it is. So. Not that the listeners would know that, because there's this thing called editing that I occasionally do. Excellent. So we now are fast approaching the end of the show, and we're going to move on to Andy and this week's
Tweet of the Week.
And we always play that one twice.
Tweet of the Week.
It's just because you love that jingle, don't you?
Oh, I love that jingle.
It's got that copyright taste to it. That's what
exactly.
It's like intellectual property.
Woe betide anybody who tries to copy that one.
Yeah. So I do have a tweet of the week, but I have to draw attention first to something I saw called the Pay Gap app, which is a gender pay gap bot. I didn't see this during, on International Women's Day, that there's lots of companies sort of promoting, sort of how great they are. And this bot literally just goes in and publishes the gender pay gap between men and women. it's really damning. And I saw that some companies actually deleted tweets, once this had retweeted it, and they sort of said, hey, the women's median hourly pay is 41.7% lower than men's in this company.
This is only available in the UK, this tweet.
We require that information to be publicly known.
That's right, yeah.
How brilliant, though.
Superb. It is superb.
Is it still going now?
It's still going now, yeah. So they've even published this morning. I love that this service is there. It's really good at calling people out.
So say you worked at a particular company and you wanted to know what your company's was. Yeah. You have to just put out International Women's Day or something, right?
Well, no, I think there are publicly available stats because it's...
Yeah. It has to be published now, yeah. In a UK company, yeah, they have to publish it. But it's good to draw attention to it because other people may see all this virtue signaling on social media about how great the company is. And it's just, actually, you're good, but you're still not paying fairly.
And let's face it, those stats are probably nestled next to the privacy policy on the website, right? So
yes,
largely inaccessible.
Buried.
Really excellent. I thought it was very clever, and it's using publicly available data and just doing a little big bold and a splash.
And in fact, it does it without drama as well. It doesn't,
It's a bot. Take the emotion out of it.
Exactly it. It doesn't try and sort of say, oh, you're awful people, because But, it doesn't try and sort of pass judgment. It merely states the facts that have been reported by that company itself. And which makes it far more powerful.
Yeah, I agree.
Cool. So the other tweet which I have, so that's a great account, which, link in the show notes, definitely go and...
Follow
that one. Yeah, I was just thinking what app it was. Yeah, go and follow. So the second one is a tweet from Andrew Hornback, and he says, now I've got a recruiter demanding that I change my resume. You have no experience in cybersecurity, only IT and information security. He says, where do they find these people and can they send them back?
Oh my God. Awful.
I don't know, though. Remember when spyware as a term came out, and I was working then at Sophos, right? And we had this whole thing going, well, of course, that's covered in under Trojans and viruses. But but people would constantly go, well, you guys don't manage spyware. So we had to do this whole getting that term everywhere across the website, say, yes, we do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, cybersecurity has become, and it's, yeah.
You have to dumb things down.
The term cybersecurity has entered the vernacular in the public's eyes, not necessarily in our eyes, but, so what?
I use the term.
Use it now. Yeah, absolutely. I never used to. I used to be along the, let's cyber all the things, blah, blah, blah. you know, but if it's what people understand. But the fact is, if you've got a recruiter in this industry saying you've got no experience in cyber, just in IT and information security, that is just pure ignorance. That's terrible. That's not just a term that's used in the vernacular, as it were. This is a completely misunderstood individual, probably.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm trying to imagine how much training they actually get as well. You know, if you join that, as you know, they might be a new recruit thrown in
junior,
hot seat.
Junior resource. Yeah. Easier targets.
Exactly. Exactly. Or in fact, probably all these sort of senior, all their senior mates in the company are probably giggling. It's like the equivalent of asking somebody to go and get a left-handed screwdriver or something.
A bucket of steam.
Tell this recruit, dude, this recruit, he's got no cybersecurity.
Yes, you know, totally.
Tell him.
That's much more likely.
That sounds a little bit more, less depressing, let me put it that way.
Tartan paint, that was the other one. Bucket tartan of steam, tartan paint. A long wait. Yeah,
we had a thing called Kiwi Shining Circles at school. So because it was a military school and we had to gloss our shoes, you know, basically bull in the shoes, which is spending hours to bring them to a high gloss finish, and anything that could speed that up was great. And so you used to send people to the tuck shop where you buy your things like your polishing and stuff, and ask for Kiwi Shining Circles, as in Kiwi polish.
The brand. Kiwi.
Yeah. Yeah. Funny. Anyway, excellent. Thank you, Andy, for this week's
Tweet of the Week.
Well, didn't that just fly past? Blimey.
Yeah. Quick is not the word.
We are not missing Jav in the slightest.
Who?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Jav.
Oh, dear. Come back next week, Jav, because I might not be here. So,
Did Jav send something that he wanted inserted into the?
Oh shoot, he did, didn't he? Oh, well, I tell you what, we'll put it in. We could do a midweek episode, maybe.
Or we can do that thing like they do over at Smashing, where you kind of have the interview at the end that everyone just forwards through.
Yeah, just do what we
goes
do.
Back to the end.
Why not?
That's
tried
true.
And tested.
Yeah,
absolutely. Actually, yeah, let's do it. Do how the professionals do it, not how we would have done it.
So coming up now, we have a message from Jav.
Or coming up after we've done the jingle, whatever. Okay. Make it easy.
Oh, that was great. Thanks very much for that, Jav. Yeah. That was great. Yeah. And you just edit in those two pieces there, right?
And let's all do... Mm-hmm.
Great points well made. Oh, great points well made. Mm-hmm. Yeah, particularly the third point.
There you go. Brilliant. Right, we can add all of those in later. God, I'd totally forgotten about that. That's all right, Carole. We'll take your bits out and we'll just edit Jazz in.
Okay, no problem. I've told you how much I love giving you Friday mornings. Great time to do this. Super.
Tell me about it. Anyway, Carole, thank you so much for giving up your Friday morning. Do appreciate it. You know, if you ever want a full-time job here at Host Unknown, we'll give Jav the push and you can come straight over.
What's the pay?
Sorry?
Well, women, I just want to know what the pay gap's going to be.
Oh, no, it's exactly the same as what Jav and Andy, Andy and I get.
Yeah. We're equal opportunity.
Excellent. Okay.
Absolutely. There is zero difference in our zero pay.
Yeah. We all lose a Friday morning.
Yeah. Some of us lose a Friday afternoon, you know. So, Carole, thank you very much indeed.
My pleasure.
Much appreciated. Lovely to have you on the show. And Andy, thank you, sir.
Stay secure, my friends.
Stay secure.
You've been listening to the Host Unknown podcast. If you enjoyed what you heard, comment and subscribe. If you hated it, please leave your best insults on our Reddit channel.
Worst episode ever.
r/smashing security.
I guess we could put him in here, couldn't we?
We could save it. We'll insert it next week. He's going to be late anyway,
as
right? So we'll just go straight over to Jav.
Sorry, as Jav would say in that particular instance, that's what she said. Oh, dear. Gotta love him.